regular meeting of the Massapequa Board of Education order. Please take roll.
Mr. Hunter?
Here.
Mr. Brandt?
Here.
Mr. Swonger?
Here.
Mr. Morlock?
Present.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Present.
And Mr. Hall's present.
Jelaine, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anybody have anything from the board work session?
I guess there's been a lot of discussion in the news that I've heard about the Connecticut tragedy that had happened, and bits and pieces that I'm reading from the paper. Sounds like the school there had a lot of safeties in place and had done all the right things, and still something like that happened. Yeah, I don't know how much more, I don't think we're doing as many things that they're doing. I don't know if it's feasible to do that. I don't think, I'm not sure if it's, how necessary it might be. But I wasn't sure if it was something that we wanted to discuss or to say, what more can we do that we're already doing? And I know, Boone, you had looked into a couple of things with some questions that were posed to you on that. So, I know Midway and Mount Sterling, they had, you had to buzz in to get in. Are we still doing that here at the Central Campus?
Each building is a little different. Way. I'm gonna talk about that a little later on.
Okay.
But you want to talk about it now?
No, I mean, if you've got plans to talk about it later, I just, I think it was one of the things that's going to be a concern for a lot of parents, and they're all still probably just trying to get a handle on what happened out there, and sooner or later it's going to be, well, what are we doing to protect their kids? And that's one of our goals. We want to be sure that the kids are safe. It's hard to prevent something like that, but I think whatever steps we can take to make it harder for something like that to happen is definitely going to be worth it. So that's one piece that I really wanted to say about that.
And just being real quick, the email we received, one of the things I read in there that I was concerned about, do we have a training on that the students go through, that they know how to react if there's a situation like that that does occur currently?
To the best of my knowledge, Mike, the training that the students receive comes maybe indirectly through the teachers when they're in the, mm-hmm. in that setting.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly that's an aspect that we're going to look at to make sure that that's happening.
But there's no drill in place or any kind of, there is right now, currently? Okay.
Oh yeah, there's that.
And that's something.
Is that what you mean? I didn't know that's what you meant. I thought you said the students.
Well, that the students are aware of, that they know exists. If something like that is to happen and they would hear this alarm or they would hear an announcement or something, that they would know how to react to it. So that is in place then?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good.
Mr. Hall, do we have a master safety plan?
The plan that we have, Dave, is in 2009 we developed a crisis plan that tried to incorporate everything that possibly could happen, from lockdowns to bomb threats to shootings. There's a basic procedure in here. It's not a cookie cutter. By that I mean the principals and the teachers take this and they adapt it to their building, their situation. But there's a basic guideline on a number of things that could happen in a school building.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one we're required to send to the state?
I'm not sure, Dave, on that, if it's required or not. I'll certainly check on that. We did this back in 2009. It's got, if you go to the website, as Karen pulled up and made me aware of tonight, a lot of these things that they're talking about on the website is contained in this. I'm not going to tell you it doesn't need to be updated. I think you could update it every day or every week and still be behind. But they suggest you update it every year. Then, as a result of of the last few days while it's happening, we'll have to put that on our agenda for adjustment.
So do we have the schools locked up now? To where people have to?
We have the schools to the point of where they're semi-locked up. Until we get a doorbell on this entry to the 4-6, which is probably happen tomorrow.
But this is all part of what you said you were gonna tell us later, right?
Right.
Anybody else got anything on this particular thing?
I'm good.
Anybody else got anything? Is there any public communications? Anybody wanna talk? Do I have a motion for number one there?
I make a motion that the minutes of the November 6th and 9th meetings be approved as written.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Don. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Mr. Detweiler, floor is yours.
Thank you. First discussion item. These will show up as action items in a moment. This is a transfer request. We have a significant amount left over in our retirement incentive fund. The retirement incentive fund right now, which is a separate fund we established when we did our early retirement program, we have $489,000 left in that fund. We have concluded all payments for the ERI. So we can transfer that money back to the general fund. So I'm asking that we do that tonight. The $47,000, the board through negotiations agreed to fund the HSA accounts for the employees for their prescription drugs at $325 for each employee that's in the medical plan. That's $47,000 we have to transfer over to the employee benefits fund. And then the rest is just cleanup. These are funds that are left on the books we need to get rid of, and so we're transferring small amounts. And then the last one is $1,140 back to the farm account. The Farm Service Agency, which is a federal agency, sends us a check once a year, but they send absolutely no transmittal information as to what it is. We just get a check from the federal government. And we finally found out this 2 weeks ago that it was from the Farm Service Agency due to the FFA farm account. So we're transferring that money back over to their account. So apparently they weren't looking for it, but it was in general fund and we're moving it to their account.
Do we have to give it to them if they're not looking for it?
Well, yeah.
Switch it back. All right.
It is there. So.
All right.
That's the first item for discussion. Number two is the resolution of necessity. And again, this goes back to our PI replacement levy. Mr. Hall and I both can talk to this, but we met with the impact committee. They agreed that we need to place it again on the ballot in May. What you had sent to you is the full document from our attorneys describing when things have to be submitted. Of course, everything has to be to the Board of Elections by February the 6th to be on the May ballot. So this is just the first step. The board can approve this resolution of necessity tonight. And you can say, no, we're not gonna go on, and we wouldn't take the next step, and we wouldn't be on. So. This is really that first step you have to do to get the certification from the county auditor. Then the next step is the resolution to proceed, which we'll probably end up doing that in the January meeting so we can file timely for February. So that's the second item. The third item is the financial reports themselves. Our standard reports, the one I draw your attention to, is the audit cost history. We're in the middle of our financial audit. We get that every year. Some people laugh, I call that the financial enema, but it's once a year and you've got to have it. We're doing quite well with it. This report, let's see if I can pull this up or not. The important thing is our costs are going down. In 2006, our costs for gap conversion and audit costs were $26,000. We reached a high in 2007 of $36,000. In 2010, we paid 28, 11, it went down, went to 32, but that was because we had ARRA funds that we had typically not gotten, and so the federal government gives you money, and then they take it away through the audit process. So we had those additional costs, but now we're down to $21,000 a year, so we're saving quite a bit over what we had historically paid. I'll give you an example. The auditors came in yesterday, they were here till 3:30, and now they're taking the rest of the stuff and they're going away and they're done. So instead of lasting months, it's lasting 2.5 days. So that's saving the district quite a bit of money, which is what I knew the board wanted to hear.
And just a comment on that, as a result of that, the amount of money that we're going to pay all these things to Tim and the ladies in the office, has everything laid out there. Sequential, and all they have to do is walk from one to the other and it's there.
Right.
That helps.
Yeah.
When you're not dragging it out.
They are surprised. They walk in and we have everything right there beside of them and they just hit the ground running, and that's the way it's supposed to be. A couple other items, non-action items I wanted to bring to your attention. We are in the middle of a bank request for proposal process. First Community Bank can no longer handle our account because basically our account's too large. It's very expensive for smaller banks to pay for collateralization of those accounts. So we are shopping for a new bank. Again, the audit is just concluding, and you'll see later on that we do have a resignation of one of the employees in my office, and we're actively looking for somebody to replace that very, very specialized position. EMIS is a very difficult area to master, and we had a very good person in that role. So we're trying to find somebody to take that over for us. So that's all I have, except for the action items.
I have a question, Tim, on your financial summary.
Okay.
I noticed that the athletic department is in the red in the junior high for $11,286, high school $24,295. We just finished the football season. We're just now starting the basketball season.
Those are questions that have already been posed to the athletic director.
Okay.
And he's showed us and has a game plan for how he will end up in the black. He feels very confident that's not going to be a problem. And he understands that if he doesn't, that is a problem. So he knows, he's been through the routine with the board. He knows what the expectation is, and he feels very confident he'll end up in the black.
Anything else?
I wanted to bring up a question regarding the retirement incentive fund. The reason why we have so much is because you put the, if everybody that was eligible for that early retirement took it, we would have to have that much money. And since not everybody took it, we had money that we separated before that contingency, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And if you recall, that money came from our old self-insurance fund, the reservation that was set up. That was the board share that came back from OMERISA. And we said, let's put that in the retirement incentive fund, and that's what funded it for us. So it was about $800,000. So
okay. I just wanted to make sure that I thought that's what it was. I just wanted to double check. Okay, thank you.
Anything else? I have a motion for number one.
I'll make a motion that upon recommendation of the treasurer, the November 2012 financial statements be accepted as presented.
So second.
Second.
Motion made by Michael, seconded by Ken. Discussion. Please take a vote.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number two.
I make motion upon the recommendation of the treasurer, CFO, the board approve the following transfers as presented from retirement incentive fund to general fund. $489,963.62. Reason, your retirement incentive plan has been fully paid out. Funds may now be moved to the general fund. From general fund to employee benefits, $47,450. Reason, transfers required per negotiated agreement to fund board's contribution to employees. High school. Is that high school athletic account? Or high school? What's HSA?
Health savings account.
Okay. Mm-hmm. From class of 2008 to MP scholarship fund, 6 cents. Fund no longer needed. Reason, from core grant 2007 to general fund, 12 cents. Reason closure of old grant. From excellence and competency grant to general fund, $2.04. Reason closure of old grant. From general fund to FFA farm account, $1,140. Reason farm service agency payment posted to general fund in 2012 should have been posted to farm account.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Linda made the motion, seconded by Ken. Discussion. Please take a vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Abstain.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number three.
I make a motion that the Board of Education Education. The Board of Education Master Plan is Oak School District, County of Madison, Ohio, met in regular session 7 p.m. on the 18th day of December 12th at Madison Plains Elementary, London, Ohio, for the purpose of declaring a necessity to levy a replacement tax and requesting the county auditor to certify matters in connection with a proposed tax levy.
Period.
That's all I'm reading. There. Yeah.
That's all you have to read.
Second?
I'll second that.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Don. Discussion?
This was the 2.5 mil replacement.
Correct.
For 5 years.
Nothing has changed.
Same
as far as amounts or anything. It's 1.25 to 2.5.
Please take vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yeah.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Mr. Hall, the floor is yours.
Thank you, thank you, sir. I thank the board. We did have a staff dinner today for everyone, teachers, bus drivers, cooks. Thank the board for sharing that. And after the meeting, we'll have a little sample. We can save some samples for you. Give us a couple minutes to go round it up, and we'll bring it over, and we'll have a Christmas dinner together. I think I'm hungry again.
I'm not good.
We both ate. I put in front of you there some. Once upon a time, you asked for how's our kids doing in the community projects. If you go through that, our community service hours, if you go through that, I asked Chris, I said, hey, a lot of these kids don't have anything. Well, they just haven't turned their time in. So, and on the back page, the alarm goes out to the senior that, hey, this has to be done before graduation. So all that is just they actually give you a copy of that. We're in the process. I'll jump around a little bit. Head football coach, we have posted that position internally. We have posted the position out, looking for possible candidates for this position. We've had two people from the inside apply. The problem with going outside and interviewing people is you don't have a teaching position for this person, so it's difficult for them to commit unless they, you know, unless they're employed someplace else or not employed someplace else. So we'll get in full swing here January. We'll finish putting our committee together. I think I sent you a list of people that we'd like to have on that committee we think should represent the committee. I did not include a board position there. However, if the board wants to be on that committee, I have no problem with it. We haven't finalized the committee. We've got the skeleton laid out.
I thought the representation that you had for the committee was thorough and complete. Mm-hmm.
Our next step will be to pull that committee together. Then we will address some concerns that they have, and we'll make that part of our interview process. And we'll get someone on board as soon as we can, and I'll try to keep you posted as we go through this. Any other comments or questions on head football coach? January the 10th, Impact will be meeting in South Solon, 6 o'clock. Bob?
6.
Jennifer emailed me today and said we got that. So we'll be getting the word out for that community and that part. They want to come and talk to us, whatever. We do have, we want to go down to the other parts of the community. Bree has contacted the Mount Sterling Community Center. And they have some dates that we will try to get down there and invite people in to talk to them and, you know, questions or concerns they might have. That's our goal for the next couple of Impact meetings, is to get move throughout the district to talk to people, see if that'll bring more into us. Bob, I don't know if you and Marie have anything you want to say in regards to that. You're welcome.
Well, as far as we don't have a location yet in South Solon.
neither one of us have had any luck.
Well, South Sullivan, Jennifer called me today, so we're booked there for January the 10th.
Where?
Where?
At the
Church?
Village Hall.
At the Village Hall? Okay. I knew we had talked about the fire department or the...
Yeah. Jennifer, she found out today. She went to the meeting. They said she was...
Okay.
So any questions on that, on the impact grid?
7 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Six o'clock.
Certainly, if the board has time,
January,
we would welcome you to come over and one of you, or two of you, or all of you.
90 minutes.
90 minutes. Any other questions on the impact? Continue on the each of the board received from a community member a list of specific questions concerning our safety in our school district. No one has ever been content with all the safety that you can provide for kids. Sometimes we get a little lax. I think maybe we're right in that phase now with Madison Plains. Maybe we're a little lax in some of the things that we do. And as a result of that, we've had an awakening. We will shore up those areas real fast. The question was asked, do we lock the buildings now? Yes and no. The high school is pretty much locked. If you go into the front, Julaine has to get up and go out and open the door. Our K-3, this building is locked other than when they come through the 4-6 building. But you go into the back of the high school, you'll find those doors are locked open for whatever reason by students, staff, whatever. So it's an education piece that we're going to have to do with our total staff. And certainly we'll start that process immediately and have started. I am not going to give anything when it comes to safety of kids. I don't know what you can do that tells you 100% that we're going to make it proof, for, you know, foul proof for some idiot or some crazy to come in off the street. Our buildings are made to allow people in. They're not made to keep people out. But we can do some things, and we will do some things to slow this person down if they choose to come to this campus. And we'll learn from what has happened in the last few days.
Mr. Hall, did you happen to see, it was on the news last night from Miami Trace. Now, I don't know if they did this when they built their schools. I don't know if they received this from a grant. But they have cameras in the school that are patched into the Fayette County Sheriff. And they can really set and monitor every hallway, every classroom. I mean, I don't know how they did it. I just thought that was really, you know, a real plus. Now, I don't know, like I said, if that was paid for by a grant, if that was in when they built their schools, because they had it in the high school as well, and that's not a new school. So, you know, I don't know, but I just thought I'd mention it to you if you get a chance to talk to them, find out how that works and what they did. And the Fayette County Sheriff also said that they were one of the few county sheriffs that had that. So, you know, I don't know if even Madison County could do something like that. I don't know. But I was just very impressed with it on the news. I thought that was really, it showed every room, showed the hallways.
And that is impressive, and we've had cameras.
Yeah.
And like any other electronic equipment, it goes through its life cycle, and it's...
And they're not cheap to replace, I'm
and
sure.
That system is, you're talking big dollars. You're probably talking 150,000 of them.
Yeah, I just didn't know how they had funded it.
Is that too expensive for safety kids? No. I like to have an airplane, but I can't afford it. But I'm not putting that, if it's possible, we will seek it out, Linda. In addition to that, we will look at our rekeying all of our doors. Again, that's going to cost some dollars. We're going to do what we can with the dollars that we have. But but I don't think anything we do is 100% that we can bank on it 100%. I would like to say we could. But we will pick up. We will pick up. We will learn from it. We will. David, I will check with the ODE or the whoever. I do know this. The Sheriff's Department has this. When we developed these, we had buku these. Teachers got them. They're in the classrooms now. Whether you can find them today, and that's another weakness that we're going to have to address.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll update them and get them back out and get people engaged with them. Be ready as much as you can if something ever happens.
Yeah, because there's several things in here. For example, the one is, it says, in what instance would a person be permitted to enter a locked door while the students are there, and what is being done to ensure that each person entering is not a threat? We don't know enough about what happened there to know if that would even make a difference, because if you had someone come to your door, they could literally tell you anything to gain admission into that building. I don't know how you would restrict that. This person could have said, I want to come in and talk to the principal about giving a presentation on something. And I don't know that they would be restricted from coming in the building. And I know they had a lockdown procedure in place there, and I believe it was like 9:30 in the morning or whatever. They said the doors were locked, and I don't know if they were sure if the glass was broken by the intruder or if someone did let him in or if he got in just before. But it's going to be very difficult to do that, and I don't know what the answer to that question would be, because that person could show you ID and literally tell you anything to gain entry into that building. And that would be very difficult to...
Well, even a UPS driver, you know, I mean, I'm sure they've got deliveries that come, and there can be somebody that poses as UPS.
Sure.
Might be a different driver. Oh, he was sick, they had me.
Sure.
You know, you let him in, next thing you know, you've got a problem on your hands.
Right. And this man that did this, I mean, he was known in the community, and I don't know that he would have been restricted by the school if he wanted to gain entry in there. Does it sound like his mother had some relationship to the building, or at least the school? He had went there to school. So I don't know that they would have even denied him then. I don't know. It's very hard to ensure that each person entering is not a threat. That's very difficult to do.
Well, as I said, our buildings are made to allow people in, not mm-hmm. people out.
Right. And then if you have a parent that wants to come in and talk to a teacher about something that may have happened at school that day or whatever, and they don't have an appointment or something. You know, I thought in my mind, you know, having people make appointments before they come to the building, but I don't know how interactive that is either.
You know, here's the other side. When we get into this, and again, we will get into it and look at all aspects. We love to have parents in our schools.
Mm-hmm.
I love to see parents walking their kids down the hallway to their classroom. Guess what? If you're going to have security, that can't be.
Correct.
And I talked to a couple of parents as to, hey, you know, we might not be able to do this much longer. Mr. Hall, if that's what it takes for my kid to be safe, I'll give that up.
Right.
And people are not going to like that, but we're going to have to do it.
Right. Right.
Because we have to know who's in these buildings with our kids.
Absolutely.
But we do have fire drills. I think that's indicated in there. Within 2 or 3 minutes, the kids are evacuated from the building. This lady person wanted to know how far was each of these classrooms from the exits. It varies from building to building. But they are within range. If they can get out in 2 minutes, obviously the exits are pretty well placed within these buildings. We have lockdowns, as Lori Torrey, she had one today where we invite the sheriff in. The high school had one scheduled for several weeks. They had theirs yesterday. Talking to the principal, we got together and we want to adjust that a little bit. We want to, instead of just have one or two, we're going to have them a little more timely. We're going to start out in September having these lockdowns and practice. And then again in January as a reminder, and if that, we don't find that that's enough, we will build another one in there.
can we lock the doors as far as the state fire marshal's concerned? I mean, is that a problem too, or?
We cannot lock the doors where, like, we cannot lock this door if people can't get out from this inside.
Okay.
And that's what you fight. You fight it both ways. You have to have, you know, somebody said, why don't we just put a deadbolt? That won't, the fire marshal needs to do that. If you have to get out, you have to be able to exit that door. So it seems like a lot of simple things, but it's not when you get into it. A lot of our doors are locked. I think our procedure on this building is either lock the doors and just keep them where people want in, they have to pack on the door, and the teacher or student has to open it. Same way with the high school. The 4-6 building, we have a few locks there that we need to maybe retrofit a little bit, but most of those, they can lock them from the inside.
But you said you were talking about the fire situation. Every door we got in this building, and every one of these buildings can be fitted so that they can be opened from the inside out.
It depends on if, when a person goes up to that door, they turn that handle, that it's not a.
What you said was that door outside of here, down the hallway, as long as the kids can exit that door from the inside.
Going outside?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Just that's like every other one we've got in here.
The panic bars are on all the exit doors. That's standard equipment. I'm talking about classroom doors. This is what we have to be sure that we don't get them where they can't unlock those doors. If someone's in there, they need to get out. But no, the outside doors, you're right. And we're gonna look at it. I've got a person coming next week, in fact, on the 4-6 building, where we'll put another set of doors just beyond the office. Those will be locked, then anybody goes and needs to get in to the where the kids are, then they have to go through the office and out another door around them. They can exit the door, but they won't be able to go in. So we're trying to do some things to make it as safe as possible.
Yeah, and as far as your access, or it said the windows open from the inside, maybe in some of your newer, do these open so that you could have egress out through a window in here?
In the 4-6 building, it would be difficult.
Right. To correct. But in your newer buildings, probably so. Like in this one here, you could get out through.
You could probably get out the okay.
This way.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if somebody wants in here, that's pretty easy to come in.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
But the other side of it is, you know, what do we do when kids go out for recess? What do we do when they go to Christmas plays and we have 500 or 600 kids? And what do we do when we go to ball game? Or we go to the movie theater?
Right.
But we'll do everything we can for what we can, and the rest of it, we'll do the best.
We just shut down.
So I don't know what's your direction, the board on. I will go down this list if you wish and send this to her as much as I can.
Yes.
The thing she sent you, if that's what you want me to do. Some of them are self-explanatory. No, we don't have a school resource person. I'm not sure if we had a school resource person that they could be every place at one time. I know some schools do that. Does, I know Coles does.
But they're not. They're on for 40 hours a week, and the schedule changes, but that's a huge building to try and cover at all times, and when you're looking at 40 hours a week, the officer isn't always there. So, again, you do the best you can with what you got.
I think you do your best to answer the questions that are on here, the stuff that we have readily available, and respond to her. And probably another response would be, we're looking at this the same as probably every school district in the nation is right now, looking at their programs to see if they can be better, if there's things we can do different. And I'm sure there are some things we can do better and things we can do different. But I don't think we're any different than a law school. We don't have those answers yet, and I think.
Well, we know we're weak, and I'm not going to stand up and tell the board that everything is hunky dory.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some weaknesses, and we're going to bridge a gap.
Right, and if you see as you're going through this, if there's things that are financial burdens or something we need to look at financially, then that's what you need to bring to us and say for consideration of things we can make better.
Go down to number 9, just to just make you aware. Number 9, she talks about the ALICE program.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I would never bring the ALICE program to the board for adoption. Basically what it is, they teach kids to defend themselves.
No.
By throwing books or whatever that the intruder is for. First thing comes to my mind, when do they practice this? Do they put the teacher up there and say, okay, we're out of the house? So that's what that program is about, is teaching them self-defense where they're not setting ducks. And surely there's something out there better than that. Mm-hmm. Any other questions on the... I wanted to keep in front of the board for the next few meetings till we get some things. I'll try to bring this time and tell you what we've done and update you and keep you updated as much as I can, just so I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to. And we'll work with the staff. We're not going to do anything that we're not going to ask the staff input. I'm sure some of the things the staff would want, like a resource officer, sometimes we just can't afford those things. Or is there a need? Safety, again, is a concern for me, but I am not going to be consumed by these type of crazy people. And I think when society gets in that state, then they win, more so than... And we'll be conscious of it, but I'm not going to be crazy about it. And I have a lot of confidence in our staff. I have a lot of confidence in when kids are here the legal term of local apprentice, that staff would take care of those kids just like they would there. And I think it boils down to that. I don't think you've never put implementation of anything in place that doesn't take common sense and some thinking on that people can do. Last thing I have, Tim flipped it up on the screen. Recently we received our state report card that none of us were happy about. I've even had teachers cry as a result of what the kids did on that. As a result of that, we got our heads together and we said, we've had enough. Administrators have come in on Saturday to look at a plan, you know, where we're coming up short, what we need to do. We've done our research, we've gone to area schools. Last week we were all over, down Miami Trace. Not that they're comparable to us, but area-wise they are. We were up in the northern part of the state, up in Tuskegee, up in Don's territory.
Black River.
And time after time when we're sitting in with these people, in a lot of cases we're doing more for our kids than they're doing. And they're excellent with distinction. And we're asking ourselves, you know, then what we need to do. So that's what got us on that pilgrimage to look at other schools that have that top rating, that where we want to be, and that's where we will be. Again, nothing they did. None of them had coaches like we have that works. That is very effective in working with our teachers, that does a super job. But they're excellent with distinction. None of them has the technology and the setup with the technology that we have, but they're still excellent with distinction. But there's a few things that they did have that we zeroed in on. They took data daily, weekly, and that drove their whole curriculum. So guess what? We'll be using that data piece to drive our curriculum.
Well, I thought we were already doing that with, you know, assessments as the students are first coming into a grade, and then,
you know, before the state test. We're not really, we're doing it, and we're doing it. We're doing it without any meaning. We're gonna put some meat into it now.
It's an ongoing process to these schools. It's not like just three or four times a year, it's ongoing. And that's one of the big differences we saw. It was the part of their daily culture, looking at data and changing what they're doing.
Now, and the data that they're looking at, that can be from tests that they've, that they already scheduled tests for math or whatever. It doesn't have to be OAA, but it could be their tests that they're doing, that they're looking at that data, so that the kids don't know that they're taking this test for this data purpose, that it's actually, they're actually able to apply that.
A lot of the data that they're looking at is embedded into what they're teaching, as opposed to just having a type of year where we practice for a test or something.
Right, right. Because I think sometimes that can skew a little bit of the results. You know, I mean, they're just doing the test as normal. They don't have to know that we're going to sample that data and see if
they use it to drive their instruction.
Yeah.
To change their instruction.
That was the goal that we had set up, that, you know, we're going to see this data and say, okay, well, half my class doesn't get, you know, why the constitution is written or whatever, you know. And that was supposed to give the teacher at least the direction to, okay, let's put a little more emphasis here or there. Right? And, but we're not using it for that. Okay.
The packet just passed down, look on the second page. We got together all the administrators and sort of zeroed in on what we thought was our problem. Certainly the first one there to improve the value added. The value added is our kids making a year's growth, regardless of where they come in. That is what pulled us down to continuous improvement, was that value added. We want to look at that. We want to look at student achievement. We have kids passing the OAA, or kids that's getting A that doesn't pass the OAA. What's that tell you? Our achievement is not high enough for what kids need to do. The Common Core is out of sync. The thinking skills are out of sync. An A, if a kid gets an A in the future, I hope this board, when we get to that point and we bring you on up to date of where we are, I hope the board can see that we need to make things a little more strenuous if we're going to get kids to that next level. We need the board support, my support, teacher support. And when we get all of that in line and everyone lines up with it, that's going to be such a culture shock for our board, for our students, for our parents. We're going to have to educate them on what we're doing. We think those three things go hand in hand, and it has to be if you're going to have improvement. We don't think our academics are rigor enough, and that's proven by the colleges. When kids go to higher education, that they're taking remedial courses, almost a third of them to 40% of them. I know for a fact we've had kids just this year. I've dealt with a kid that got straight A's all through from the time he entered here till he exited. Then he went to a high state, and guess what he was getting? And I know your situation. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about. That is the culture change that we have to do if we want to get to the next level. Now, if you're content where you are, then, you know, we can back off. But if we put this thing together, we're asking for your support. And to make all this work, the five things that we looked at, we're going to look at staffing. We want a staff that can work together, can collaborate, can plan together, can be a team. And as a result of that, we may be asking some people to make some moves that they may not be comfortable with.
And I think we're on the right path to that. I mean, we're including the high school teachers with the middle school teachers, because we're starting to tie all that together so that at least third grade teachers know what's going to be expected in fourth and fifth grade so that they can start preparing the students for that. So I think that part of collaboration that we've been having is a good step in the right direction.
It's been happening, Ken, but we want to take it to another level. We want documentation that is happening, and we want to evaluate that almost weekly that is happening. That's going to be part of our the OIP plan. That once we started sketching this out, and you know, Tim came in someday, well, why don't we just look at this framework for Karen? And we said, well, yeah. And this is what this is here. This is recognized by the state. Some 300 school districts in the state of Ohio use this plan. Most of them because they had to. We don't have to develop a plan for this magnitude yet. So we're ahead of the ball game in doing that. We think this will fit in perfectly with our what we're going to try to do.
The handout you were given, that's what Mr. Hall is showing you there, the OIP process. It defines the process we'll go through in all four stages. And then I put this in there, which is a summary of what we've done to this point. And then 8.5 by 14s you've got. This is just the detailed documentation behind this summary. And that's what Boone was talking about, the five different areas. But it drills down into the problems that we actually see. Now the thing that's missing at this point is the additional research that we've got from the other schools we went to. So we've got a master list of items that we'll put together from those other schools of what they're doing to address these kind of critical issues and problems. And then that'll go to that stage two where they'll work on developing solutions. And the last thing I just threw in there just for your information was this. This is the CUP report, and it includes information not only on Madison Plains, but all the excellent distinction schools that the state says are similar to us.
That's good.
And the ones that are bordered in red at the top are the ones we visited. So you'll know who we went to and who we didn't before we get that summary. But I just want to make sure you understood what was handed out. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine. So that's what our plate is going to be filled up with, plus other things. When I sent you my yearly goal, Mike, I'm sorry I only gave you one, but man, my plate's full. But that covers it pretty good. We will, at the next level, we will bring the board up, just like we're doing now at each level. Our next chore is to develop our district leader teams and our building leader teams and our teacher leader teams, and just start working down from there. We will do a few things better. We found in our visit to other schools that they didn't have a silo of things, but they focused in on a few things and did them well. And as a result, that they saw the student improvement. That's the menu, as we call it, that if you're going to be in Madison Plains, if you're going to work in Madison Plains, this is a menu you order from, and we're not going to back off from. Everyone eats off the same menu. So it's going to be a culture change, as you can probably surmise. And we're not doing something that... We're not developing something that is that we'll hand to the teachers. That's not our intent. We will develop this with the teachers part of. All staff will be part of. Parents will be part of. We'll give them that opportunity. Anything else, Tim? Karen, anything else?
No, I just think... this is coming about at a very busy time for us, and there's a lot of different things happening at the same time. Standards have changed. Our rating has dropped. The rigor is being increased. So the one thing I think is most important to be aware of is this is going to take some time, and it's going to be a lot of hard work, and it's going to take everybody doing it. So just to be aware, this isn't going to be this isn't going to be fixed in a year. You know, this is going to take time.
That was one of the things that we were told with the mentoring program that we had, since we were falling short in math on a lot of the state tests that we started implementing in the middle school, the mentoring program, and saying it's going to be a little bit to get used to. You know, we might not see results this year, but next year, and we've moved from just the middle school to now we're doing that mentoring for just about everybody who needs it. And I'm not sure that we're seeing results from that. And that's been in place for a good, 3 years now, maybe. So is it a matter of, you know, the students not being held accountable?
That's part of the rigor, part of the culture changes that we'll be working on.
Yeah.
You're right, I think it is part of it. I think students have some accountability in this process, or else they don't go to the next grade, whatever it might be. You know, that's another part of it.
I think that's something that has to be, you know, I don't know if we're, I don't know if we're being strong enough to let the kids understand that, hey, this is important, and the reason why we're doing this extra stuff,
well,
so that you
it's
can
an education
be
that,
and be ready for
it's an education that the students
time.
Have to have and the parents have to have right along with us.
And that's something that we're going to be working on throughout this process too, is working with parents to better understand what the standards require. One of the things also to be aware of is, you know, right now the expectation is here and we're about here. Well, in 2 years the expectation is going to be here. Okay? So even though we may reach up to where we need to be, there's still going to be farther to go. There's still going to be a lot farther to go. So that it's going to be, you're going to hear the word rigor a lot. And it's going to be true for what we expect students to learn, what we expect teachers and administrators to do, the work that they're doing, and you know how that's going to affect families and parents as well. But it's a necessary step given our new standards and given what society is demanding that all public schools produce.
That culture shift category is what we're talking about. It covers everything. And we saw that in every school we went to. I mean, you could just feel it when you went in there. There was a culture of, except maybe Black River, and they were struggling, but there's a culture of high expectations on everybody there. I mean, everybody, not just kids.
And each of those districts talked about this being like an 8 to 10 year process. I think in maybe 3 to 5, we'll start to see the fruits of our labor.
Well, I think it's important, you know,
we haven't been dragging our feet in the last 4 or 5 years, believe me. We dealt with a lot of these, and we would be farther down the road had we not done some things
right
4 or 5 years ago. But I think we have people in place with Karen's guidance on the curriculum side of it, and all of us putting our 2 cents in. Tim does an excellent job of keeping us on task. I think he's an educator instead of but he's the whip guy that keeps us. No, that's not that goes here, and we appreciate that.
And they were looking at all the schools in the district. They weren't looking at just the high school.
No, this is everyone. It's
okay.
Just remember, we've got the third grade guarantee that goes into effect next year. That's going to,
right.
And that'll get us started. And we've done some things that I think will be okay. We're going to be looking at schedules. We're going to be looking at interventions during the day. Nothing is off the board. We're going to give the kids that will have the help if they need it. We may be, you know, looking at increasing the iPads. We were in one school district that provided kindergartners with these because it's a system in reading. And think about it, it makes sense. This thing will read a story to them and enunciate and paragraph and sentences and left to right. That's all I have.
Any unfinished business? There's not. Do I have a motion for number one there under new business?
I make a motion upon recommendation of superintendent the board approve the first reading of the following board policies as presented.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Ken. Discussion? I haven't had a chance to read all these yet.
A lot of them, they're already in our book, Dave.
I wanted to go through everything you had on here, and I haven't had a chance to read all that yet, so. Any other discussion? Please take a vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Moylock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
No.
Mr. Swan?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Have a motion for number two.
Mr. President, I'll make a motion upon recommendation of superintendent. The board approve the addition of Amanda Kress to the 2012-2013 substitute aid list.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Michael made the motion. Don seconded. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yeah.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Moylock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Have a motion for number three.
I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the addition of Amanda Kress to the 2012-13 substitute cook list.
Second.
Motion made by Don, seconded by Ken. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mr. Swanger?
Yeah.
Mr. Moylock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number four.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board employ Amanda Kress as a bus driver on 129-day contract,
steps in effect
November 12,
2012.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Ken, seconded by Michael. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mr. Moylock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number five.
Mr. President, I'll make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent. The board employ Kelly Durbin as substitute bus driver effective December 3, 2012.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Michael, seconded by Don. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Moylock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Have a motion for number six.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer CFO, the board accept with regret the resignation of Kelly Kilberger, EMIS coordinator bookkeeper, effective January 1st, 2013. Mrs. Kilberger served the district for 10 years.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Michael. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Moylock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, motion for number seven.
Mr. President, I'll make a motion upon recommendation of superintendent. The board approve the following academic supplemental contracts for the 2012-2013 school year. Katie Wincup, piano accompanist. Michelle Hildebrandt, mentor. Brian Snyder, mentor. Brian Knowles, mentor. Betsy Ames, spelling bee advisor, grade 5. And Stephanie Kellenberger, spelling bee advisor, grade 6.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Motion made by Michael, seconded by Don. Do I have discussion? Please take a vote.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yeah.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Moylock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
I have a motion for number 8.
I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following basketball supplemental contracts for the 2012-2013 school year. Joe Penny, boys 7th grade basketball. Matt Slemers, boys 8th grade basketball. Kendra Hatfield, reserve basketball cheerleading advisor. And Carrie Whitaker, varsity basketball cheerleading advisor.
Have a second.
Volunteer.
Second.
Motion made by Don, seconded by Michael. The only question I have is, where's the girls' 7th and 8th grade basketball coaches? I asked this last meeting. We didn't have them on there then. We still don't have them. I know who they are. They've been coaching.
No.
But they haven't been on any of our lists yet.
Paperwork is hanging out there. The background check's probably been in, but they haven't got something in. Their contract or something hasn't been turned in. Or their some form of paperwork hasn't come in. That's why they don't
need you check on these, because these are two of our employees. There shouldn't be anything hanging out there. Please take a vote.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Moylock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number 9.
Mr. President, I'll make a motion upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve Mike Siders as weight room advisor winter for the 2012-2013 school year.
Second.
Motion made by Michael, seconded by Don. Discussion. Please take vote.
Mr. Brandt.
Yes.
Mr. Swanger.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Moreland.
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Motion carries.
And motion for number 10.
I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the following early graduation for Brandon Stinson with a graduation date of December 18th, 2012.
Second.
Motion made by Michael, seconded by Ken. Discussion. Please take vote.
Mr. Swanger.
Yes.
Mr. Moreland.
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Mr. Brandt.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Motion carries.
So I have an appointment to fill that number 11.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board appoint Don Swanger as the Manassas Plains local school district representative to the TOLS Career and Technical Board of Education for a 2-year term beginning January 1st, 2013.
Second.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Don, or seconded by Ken. Don, do you accept this?
Absolutely.
Please take vote.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Mr. Moreland.
Yes.
Mr. Swanger.
Yes, I think that's an excellent choice.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Brandt.
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number 1 under donations.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations from Pell Industries Royalty in the amount of $75.28 to the high school principal account, from Kroger in the amount of $180.45 to the high school principal account.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Ken, seconded by Don. Please take a vote.
Mr. Moreland.
Yes.
Mr. Swanger.
Yeah.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Brandt.
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Does anybody have anything for executive session? With that.
I don't have anything for executive session, but I do have a question. Our next meeting is not scheduled until January 15th. Don't we have to have a meeting before the 10th? Is it the 10th?
It has to be by the 15th.
By the 15th, so we're okay if we just keep it for the 15th. Okay.
Is that going to be the organization, both meetings?
That's what I was going to ask. Is that what you want to do? Do the organizational and regular meeting?
What you normally do.
Mm-hmm. On the 15th? Okay.
Yeah. So the next meeting is going to be January 15th, 2013 at 7 p.m. With that, I make the motion that we adjourn at 8:03.
Second.
Please take a vote.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Moreland?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swan?
Yes.
Mr. Carey?
Thank you all for coming out.
Okay, give me a couple of minutes and I'll go get the... You guys are welcome.